Okay, let's begin. One of the themes that I keep stressing, that the I keep noticing that Ksava Kabbalah keeps on harping on, is he always is trying to defend the Avos. He won't say anything negative about the Avos, about the holy people. He's not going to say, he's always going to try to find some positive spin on what happened. So, in the beginning of the parasha, of course, we have Yosef is 17 years old. Hayaroe Sechav Batzon. Vuhunar Espine Bilhav Espine Zilpan She Aviv. So what does it mean, Vuhunar? It's a funny pasuk. It's very hard to know what it means. Vuhunar Espine Bilhav Espine Zilpan She Aviv. He's a nar of Bilha and Zilpa. So the Ksava Kabbalah understands, first paragraph, Kmo Gechazi Naro, Klomar Mishor So. Yosef anova v'shiflus. Interesting. He's going to stress that he feels that Yosef has the midah of humility and lowliness. Anova v'shiflus. L'sharis es b'nei bilha v'zilpa af shehem b'nei ashvachos. He's going to serve them. He's going to serve the sons of Bilha and Zilpa, the sons of the maidservants. Kol shekein Shelo hiska al echav b'nei hagvira. Certainly, he's not going to lord it over on his brothers. He's not going to be a bal gaiva. I think he's alluding to the fact that some of the rishonim say that the reason he told over the dreams was because he was being a bal gaiva. He's saying no, Yosef. The fact that he was willing to serve the members of the family, Bilha and Zilpa's children. He was willing to serve them, to help them out. This is part of the midah of his humility. One of the hallmark explanations of the Ksava Kabbalah, good morning, he's going to explain, as he says right now, the Odeinu Bezeh, the reason why the Torah is going out of its way to say that Yosef hung out with the children of Bilha and Zilpa, that he was willing to lower himself to hang out with them, even though they were the children of the Shvachos. The Yodiyeh was that ki chalomosav hamoros al hisrom muso, his dreams that showed his elevation, that he had an exalted status, lo haya hirhure diyumo, he says that, you know, usually he explains elsewhere that, you know, when a person dreams, sometimes a person could be dreaming because of his own thoughts about himself. That's what you dream about. That you dream, you know, because of the things. The Gemara says in one place that a person only dreams at night that which he thinks about during the day. So if this is on your mind during the day, I don't know if I told you the story about the a Rebbe in DRS who had a dream about my father. I'll tell you the story. Anyway, I'll make a long story short. You know, during the service, I mean, Truba, one of the straightest Rebbes in DRS, straight guy, told me he had a dream where he was at a wedding and he saw my father there and he was shocked. And my father, so he said to my father, and I was at the wedding too, so he said to my father, oh, come, I'll take you over to your son. He says, no, I'm not allowed to see him, but I want you to give him a message, tell him, you know, I'm with him, I'm thinking about him, and I see all he's doing, and he shouldn't be so upset, whatever. It was like crazy. Rebbe walked into my office, told me this, had a dream. And he said, look, maybe I was just thinking about it, you know, during the day. You know, could be that it's nothing so super natural about it. My father never came to talk to me in a dream yet, but apparently he did come to talk to one of the other Rebbes. Anyway, but so sometimes you're just dreaming about that which you happen to be, you know, dealing with during the day. So he's saying, no, it's not that Yosef was Be'etzim Abal Gaiva, and he was always thinking about how better he was than the brothers, and therefore, so that's why he dreamt those dreams, because that's what he was thinking about during the day. No, Vuhu Naris B'nei Bilhav Esmei Zilpa. He hung out with the B'nei Ashvachos all day long. He wasn't concerned about his own status or stature. So that's a raya, that was a proof that Torah is bringing it as a proof that the dreams that he dreamt were prophecies. They were prophecies about that he was going to be have a certain status, a certain position, a certain stature, and by, we'll see in a moment, that by telling over his brothers, which I think most of us remember all the explanations that say, like, if you know your brothers are upset at you already, what are you going to tell them about the dreams? I think Sava Kabbalah is going to have an exact opposite perspective on that. He's going to say, no, he was trying to explain to them, hey, listen, this is not me doing this. I'm not interested in doing this. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu has some plan, and obviously he wants me to get involved in something. I'm not doing it for my own honor. I'm doing it because there's some master plan. There's some thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing with the dreams. Uleschar, and just the opposite, Uleschar an Rasanusa. You see, Jewish leadership is all about humility. Jewish leadership, it's actually a reward for his humility. In Judaism, we believe that, you know, I think there's a statement, you know, nice guys finish last, usually, but in Judaism, we don't believe that. We believe that the person who's the most worthy of rulership and kingship is the person who's the most really humble. That's who's really worthy of leadership. That's who our leaders are supposed to be. I think he's going to allude to it later on, you know, how Shaul lost the kingship because he wasn't willing to admit his wrongdoing. You know, David, I think the Gemara says one place, David sinned twice, but he retained the kingship. Shaul sinned once, but he didn't retain the kingship. Oh, it's going to be later on by Yehuda, right? Yehuda and Tamar, the ultimate example. Yehuda said, I messed up. You know, for a ruler to be able to say, I messed up, you know, and you were right and I'm wrong, that's the most important. That's why the kingship comes from Yehuda. Lo yosa shev Yehuda. That's the whole parasha of Yehuda and Tamar over here. So the Torah is trying to stress that Yosef, at least the way the Ksav HaKabbalah understands, that Yosef was very humble, and the fact that he would play with the Bnei HaShvachos showed that whatever aspects of rulership he was granted was not because of his arrogance. Quite the contrary. It was strictly because of his humility. And in a somewhat similar, I thought it was a beautiful vein, in terms of Yosef's ability to be a leader, to be a ruler, another aspect of Jewish leadership is shown here in the next piece. He says, Ki ben zikunim hulo, right, famous pasuk. For Yisrael, obviously, he's going up, Ki ben zikunim. What does it mean he's a ben zikunim? What does it mean? So the Ksav HaKabbalah has a very interesting take on this, I think also original. I can't remember ever hearing this pshat in Ben Zikunim. For anybody else, maybe I did, but I can't. Targum Onkelus Bar Chachim. Okay, Onkelus says he means he was intelligent. Ben Zikunim means he was wise, right? The Gemara in Kiddushin says that Zakein is like a mnemonic for Zekana Chachma. Zakein is Zekana Chachma. That Zakein doesn't just mean old in age, but usually when you're old in age, it means you've acquired some kind of life experience. Bar Chochem, Rotzalomer, Shematzabo Aviv Ta'am Zekenim, Lo Ta'am Na'orim, Shebinyanam Stira, Lirasichas Tevam. He says that when his father would talk to him, he wouldn't feel like he was talking to a young person who didn't have any experience, who didn't have any wisdom, who didn't know what's going on in the world, who didn't have perspective. He would talk to his young son, but at the time he would talk to his young son, he felt that he somehow had an understanding of the world that was mature way beyond his years. Lo tam na'arim shebinyanam stira. He didn't feel like he was talking to a young person who, when young people build, they're actually destroying because they're immature. They don't understand how to build things, and the stuff that they build is end up being destroying. Lirisichas tivam, because they're hot-headed, they're young-blooded and hot-headed because of their nature. Umiyot tisbonanam b'darche haseichel. Ah, so what's the significance of this, says the Ksav HaKabbalah? You see, this is another very important aspect of Jewish leadership. Listen to this sentence. V'hodiyenu b'zeh malas Yosef. With this statement of Ben Zikunim, we see the Madrega of Yosef. Shebihiyoso im achiv habachurim hayanar. He was able to be a young kid when it came to hanging out with his so-called cousins, his you know, the Bnei HaShivcha, like we saw last time, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. he was able to lower himself to the status of the Bnei HaShvachos and to kid around with the boys like a young child. Uvioso Eitzel Aviv, but it wasn't a contradiction that when he was by his father, Azakin, Hayalo Ben Zakunim, Beshuva Venachas Umesinos, maybe that should say Beseva, Beseva Venachas Umesinos, Keminaga Zakenim. So he was able to dance at all the chasnas. He was exactly. And I was thinking, why is that significant? Because a leader has to understand all different kinds of people. Someone who's a leader, you can't only interact with the holy rollers. You have to know how to speak to the elders and to the children at the same time. You may need to talk like a nar to the children and a wise person to the elders. So Yosef apparently, not only was he humble, but he also knew how to relate to different types of people in different ways. And this is part of being a Jewish leader as well. Someone who's involved, we have to realize that all of Klal Yisrael is made up of very, very different people. A lot of different kinds of people, different backgrounds, different levels. You have to know how to talk to different kinds of people, different ways. And if you're a sincere person, and an honest person, and a caring person, you'll know how to relate to every member of Klal Yisrael on their own level. And I think the Ksav HaKavel says here that the Torah is highlighting Yosef's ability. He had the wisdom of old age, but that didn't take away his youthful exuberance and ability to deal with the young kids as well.
What year was he?
Late 1700s. He was born in the late 1700s and he died in the mid 1800s.
Pretty phenomenal kind of concept that he's holding on to, considering where he grew up and what kind of environment.
Yeah, I hear you.
The classic explanation is Ben Zakunim relates to Yaakov, not to Yosef.
Right, he favored him, or he was like
no,
his...
No, Rashi says who is the son in his old age.
Right. I'm saying
so
that he was.
How does he say it's referring to Yosef? I mean, what's his basis for that?
Well, again, what's so?
It doesn't say it about Binyamin because he was even older when Binyamin was.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
I don't know.
That's a great point, actually. Right? You think Binyamin was even younger than Yosef? So, if it was just the fact that he was born, That's a great ha'ara. I never thought of that. I thought he wasn't the youngest. Yeah, we usually understand Ben Zakunim means like, you know, he was the younger child, so he, you know, by the time the parents have already finished parenting, you know, the young kid, the youngest, so usually gets spoiled. The youngest usually, you know, so that's the way, I think that's the way we tend to think about it in Ben Zakunim. So, yeah, you're right, it's Mechudosh. We're always finding Chidushim here. Again, Onkel says Bar Chachem. That's to do with his wisdom. What?
Onkel is about him, about Yosef, not about Yaakov.
Right. Well, we're going to see. I mean, look. The Gemara. Yeah. The Gemara famously says
he was smart. He was smart.
Maybe that's about Yaakov.
No, but the pasuk says Ben Zakunim Hulo, right?
Yeah, he was a Ben Zakunim Hulo. But Joel, one thing we do find is that. The Gemara in Shabbos takes Yaakov to task for favoring Yosef over the other brothers. The Gemara does say that, and that's really on the lighter part of the buzzer. The Gemara says that a person should never favor one child over the other, never, because of the fact that Yaakov favored Yosef by giving him the Ksonas Pasim. That's what caused the whole gullus. That's what caused the Jewish people to have to spend years of hard labor in Egypt was because Yaakov favored one of the kids. So Gemara says that in Shabbos, Daf Yud Amud Beis. So that's striking Gemara. Very big mussar for parents and grandparents.
It's a simple shot, Gavi, ki ben zekunim hu lo va so lo kesanis pasim. Meaning it's the whole pasuk is talking about Yaakov. The low twice in the pasuk is Yaakov.
Right. Well, no, Vasa Lokes on his pasim.
And he made for him.
For Yosef.
But he made.
Yeah, the also. Yeah. But the right, the first it's low
it's
is.
It's an adjective.
The first low is Yaakov, the second low is Yosef. In terms of the lows, the first low is Yaakov. Yeah. Correct, yeah.
Because Rashi says, the Shenolad low lay sick maso.
Yeah, definitely here. And you're right that others understand the Ben Zakunim has to do with Yaakov. So again, but the Ksava Kabbalah says that it means that he could talk to him. Ben Zakunim, he was a Ben who Joel is the one saying that he's both a Ben and a Zakin at the same time. Ben Zakunim Ulo. He's a Ben, he's still a kid, but he's able to have the wisdom of an older person at the same time. Vayaged Le'echav. Now again, most of the Mefarshim say that this was evil. This was wickedness. That we find the Ksava Kabbalah running, seemingly against the simple Pshat and the Psukim, running to defend. He has a hard time. Only if he has absolutely no choice to explain, like it's absolutely explicit black and white, will he say that one of the holy people in the Chumash sinned or did something wrong. Listen to this. I mean, this mostly Rishonim understand. What are you telling your brothers if you have a dream? Okay, good, you're going to have it. What are you going to tell your brothers for? Listen to the Ksava Kabbalah's take on this. Yaged Le'echav, he had a dream and he told it over the brothers. Really? The dream of him being on top of them? Like, what did you think was going to be the reaction to this? Right? That's the way we read it in the modern idiom. We say, like, what did you think was going to happen? He says, no, I mean, it's strange, I think. But Gam Bazeh Hodia Malas Yosef. Even with this, the Torah is telling you how great Yosef was. What? Where's his greatness? Av shehirgis shehem sona of, even though he felt that they were jealous of him and they hated him. Why? Because that's already from the pasuk before, right? After he gets the ksonas pasim, the brother saw that the father loved him when they hated him for it already. And they couldn't even speak to him in peace. Now he dreams the dream, and he tells the brothers, what do you mean? Av shehirgis of, ve'ein derech lo diachalom lasone. It's not the normal way to tell over any dream. Forget about a dream. It's not the thing you tell, oh, guess what dream I had. Even if it didn't put them down. Stop if it was a dream that was good for him. If they hated him, he wouldn't tell these people. Mikomakom. Hoya mischaber aleim. But he wanted to be mekar of them. He wanted to talk to them. He wanted to interact with them. Liridifaso achar shalom. He was trying to pursue peace. Really? That's the way you pursue peace? By telling them over a dream where they're bowing down to you? That's the way you pursue peace? But the Ksavak, well, again, he's right. He wanted to tell them. He wanted to stay relevant in their lives. He wanted them to stay relevant in his life. He wanted to try to maintain the relationship and talk to them and tell them about stuff that was going on in his life, even though they hated him. Ulasaprilhem chalamosov. Lahoros netias ahavaso aleim. That he actually loved them. He wanted them to be part of his life. Gam, listen to this twist. Lahasir sinasam alav yilvah. He's trying to remove the hatred. Really? You remove the hatred by telling him over the dream that they're bowing. How does that work? He says, no. Listen to this. Gam lahasir sinasam alav milvavam. Ki min achalom shu echan mishishim benavuah. We know that a chalom is, the Gemara says in Brachos, a chalom is 1/60th of prophecy. There's a little piece of prophecy in every Chalom. Yeah, the hard part is knowing which part is the prophecy and which part is not. Yiru, ki gam min hashamayim yavdilu l'mal of a kavod umatas el. These were holy spiritual people, the brothers. And if he's getting this, I mean, I'm telling you, like when this Rebbe came to tell me this dream, it was like, you know, you're shaking a little. This is not like this Rebbe is like one of the straightest arrows. So Yosef was feeling. If he told them the dream, that they would realize that this is not Yosef being arrogant and saying, this is something that God is trying to tell all of us as a family, that there's something that's going to happen that we have to know about. It's not my honor. I'm not saying it to you for my honor. I'm saying it to you because God's trying to give us a message about something that we need to know. And let's talk about, what does this mean? Okay, he says, This is God designating him. And what Yaakov saw in him, the talents and the zikna and the wisdom, whatever it was that Yaakov saw in him, this was something that he was destined for. It's not just a happenstance. It's not just that I'm dreaming this because I'm better than you. Masha aviv yiromamuhu. This that the father elevated him wasn't just a happenstance. I think that's Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel. I think that's he's quoting from the Abarbanel here. So what I find just incredible as an aside about this is that the very same pasuk that most of the other Rishonim take Yosef to task for, not only does the Ksav HaKabbalah say it wasn't a sin, but he actually says it was actually an act of righteousness trying to bring the brothers together. I don't know. This wouldn't be my first explanation of the pasuk, but it's fascinating to the levels that he got. And it is an interesting twist on it about, and this is the Ksav HaKabbalah's theme throughout, that Yosef is trying to convince his brothers that there's something beyond our regular mundane brotherly activities going on over here.
And plus, before we had said Dibasamra, he told on them.
So he
wanted to make up with them. He'd apologize.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not diplomacy.
I forgot to bring it. He actually, I didn't do anything. He has a whole take on that also. He has a whole defense for that also. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. What does he say? He says it wasn't his lashon hara. I have to look it up. Well, you know, if we have time at the end, I'll go look it up. I have the safer right in my office, but he has to take on that. Yeah, look it up for homework, Joel. Ksava Kabbalah, Dibasam Ra. It's not the Lashon Hara. He has another word about Dibasam. It's a funny word. What does it mean? You never see that word. Dibasam Ra, what is it? So he has a take on it. Also some kind of defense over there. Oh, okay. Ba'esahi, exactly. So let's move on to the just very briefly as two pieces on the Mice of Yehuda and Tamar, right? So he puts a lot of emphasis on the fact that, just to give you a short version, Joel, in a similar point about with the whole story about throwing him in the well. So he says the brothers never wanted to kill him, even though it says they wanted to kill him. They never wanted to kill him. They actually, in a righteous kind of a way, the same way the Ksav HaKabbalah won't convict Yosef, and he won't convict the brothers either. He said this was a machlokas l'shem shamayim. That's what Chazal, there are many Chazal say, they weren't evil people either, the brothers, and they actually threw him in the bar because they wanted to see whether or not this prophecy really had something or not. They didn't actually want to kill him. They wanted to scare him into thinking they were going to kill him, is what he says. They wanted to scare him and take away all his hope and then see how he would react and see how the Rabbonu Shalom would react. And Sofo Mochiach, I mean, somehow he ended up getting saved from that pit where there was nothing. And you know, So, Yehuda, they do take Yehuda to task. He does, you know, Vayered Yehuda me'esachav, right? The Torah says. So here he does take Yehuda to task a little bit. Take a look on page 110. Ahi ba'esahi. Right? It's very strange. Why? First of all, this whole Yehuda and Tamar thing has absolutely nothing to do with what happened before. So what's ba'esahi? Ba'esahi. Right? So Chazal say, Vayered Yehuda, the Yered, right? That Yaakov said, when Yaakov saw, he said, oh my God, I'm going to go down to my grave. So, Vayered, Vayered, Vayered Yehuda. So, the Ksav HaKabbalah's take a look at this. Look at this. I don't think I ever figured out this particular detail. The Ksav HaKabbalah made Yaakov in mourning, put Yaakov in mourning over it. Yehuda was a main cause of Yaakov being in mourning over the loss of a child. Mida keneged mida, Yehuda loses two children. All right, double. Got paid back double. Ba'esahi. So it said, all this the Ksav HaKabbalah sees in the words Ba'esahi. It was at that time, says the Ksav HaKabbalah. Ba'osa azman she'nimka Yosef le'mitzrayim b'sibas asas Yehuda. She'amar lo'machro. V'lo amar lo'hashivo. Yehuda had a chance he was the leader. He didn't say, hey, what are we doing here? Let's bring him back to his father. V'sikel es aviv. He faked out. He avadalav, we say in modern Hebrew. Avadalav, right? V'sikel es aviv. He played games with his father. And he played games with his father and caused his father. Right? We think about this. Right? How the brothers could... How could brothers do this to a father? Right? I understand you have this issue with the prophecy, whatever, you know, he's being, but, you know, what about the father? Father's got to lose his favorite son, his child. So the Ksav HaKabbalah, here he doesn't hold back, interestingly. He says, Chal al Yehuda primal alav. So it's not only that, forget about getting punished, it was a tautology, it was like an automatic, it was the automatic reaction, what had to happen. Primal alav, the fruits of his labor. V'holid shnei b'nei mavas, v'nisha shachol mishneim. And it was obviously much different because Yaakov actually ended up getting back together with Yosef. Yehuda lost two children and they died, right? Erev Onan actually died. So he says this was Mida Keneged Mida, and he quotes Rav Ovadia Svarno. Again, I think he's just quoting a pshat from the Svarno here, but he likes that pshat, that here you have no choice. Yehuda didn't, you know, Yehuda is being punished with a loss of two children because he made his father think that he lost a child. So it's mamish mida keneged mida. Fascinating. And again, I think the point here for us is that, you know, every action has a reaction, right? Everything we do, we have, you know, when we use our judgment about how to act in certain cases, we have to realize that if we make the wrong move, then there's going to be a consequence. However, even though Yehuda made that mistake, but Yehuda also, and speaking, there's a lot about leadership in Parashat Vayeshev. We talked before, earlier, about Yosef's leadership qualities. And Chazal say that in the merit of these words that Yehuda said, Tzadka mimeni. Right? There's even Midrashim that talk about how the Beis Din that was passing on Tamar, there's a Medrash that says the Beis Din was Yitzchak and Avram Avinu, who was alive at the time. The Beis Din was Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We're sitting in the Beis Din to determine whether or not Tamar should be killed. And Yehuda had to admit his sin, in quotes. We'll see what the sin exactly was in a moment. But Yehuda had to admit his sin in front of the three greatest people he knew in the world at the time. He had to say, Tzadkimeni. This is a sign of a leader, someone who's willing to admit his foibles in public, at the expense of his own honor, and he could have gotten away with it. That's what Chazal say. She wasn't going to call him out on it. Let's see his take on this.
Since when is a widow having relationship? So
let's talk.
Sentence.
He talks about it. There was a form of yibum that existed at the time. A form of even that she had to wait. She had to wait for the third brother, and he wasn't planning on giving
of
the third.
She
cheated on. It's like yibum. Normally yibum nowadays it's only lashes. But in the Torah, apparently then it was she was a bas kohen. Also Chazal says she was the daughter of Shem. That's why it was sreifa. It was bas kohen. It was besreifa. But you're right. It's not pashut. You heard me. Everybody talks about it. But let's see. Son coming, Manny. Why was she more righteous than I? Yehuda, at the time of the revelation, he says, she was more righteous than I. Listen to his take on this. Kima she'asa sahi haya bidas v'yiras shamayim. That which she did was done with intention, and it was with yiras shamayim. Again, this aspect I never heard. Lo l'tava gufanis. She did not do this for taiva reasons, for her own sexual desires. Dim Cain, because if that was it, if it was all about her having sexual desires, lama laholcha achrei abachurim, why was she interested in an old guy like me? Yehuda says, she would have run after the young guys. She would have run after the young bachelors. She wouldn't run after the, what?
Money.
Oh, exactly. Okay. Dim Cain, lama laholcha. Umala lizdaki kivish gadol b'shanim. Why would she want to attach herself to an old guy like me? Aval, rather her be mamish on your point. Here we go. Aval bir osa kilo nitna l'sheila. She saw that really she was supposed to marry the third brother, and Yehuda was not interested in giving him to that. That's halachically what she was supposed to do. She was supposed to have this yibum situation with the third brother, and she saw that Yehuda had no interest in. Yehuda had lost two kids by marrying them to her. So she had some bad karma or something. What is, you know, the Chazal talk about this. Mishnayos and Yevamos talk about this. So one opinion says two is a chazaka, one opinion says three. That's exactly the debate over here. That's exactly the debate. That's part of the debate here. Some say on the third, some say no. Three is a chazaka. Others say no, the third would have been the chazaka. Chashva machsheves mitzvah lehisyabim yibum herbi me'avi bala hames. So you weren't going to give me the husband, you weren't going to give me the third son, and now she saw Yehuda was out there, so she said, oh, I have a chance to ulakayim zera mimeni. V'kavanasa l'shem shamayim ha'isa. Of course, the Ksava Kabbalah coming to the hill to defend all the holy characters. Her kavanah is l'shem shamayim. So says Yehuda, her kavanah was l'shem shamayim, but my kavanah wasn't. That's the way he understands the pasuk. Omnum, Masha Asisi Ani, this that I did, Hoyami Derech HaTaiva HaMaguna. Wow. Her intentions was not for Taiva, my intentions was more for Taiva. I was running after the young girl, the prostitute. She was running after the old guy. Now, I don't know who Reish Beis Ches is, B'Shem Ramban. Rabbeinu Chanan, I don't know, we've had him a few times. I don't know who it is. I don't know. B'Shem Ramban. V'chein Piresh Rav Yitzchak Abar Benel, V'Rav Yitzchak Arama Ba'akeda. And similarly, the Akedas Yitzchak says this pshat. I'm sorry. V'chein Piresh Rav Yitzchak Abar Benel, V'Rav Yitzchak Arama Ba'akeda, Akeda in the Sefer Akedas Yitzchak, Hosef, he adds, Af al pi, another aspect to this. He adds another point here. Af al pi shetzadakti b'maisezu, even though I ended up being righteous with this action, kevan shen is damnali ishti, because it turned out I didn't realize it, but she was actually somebody who I was allowed to do, at least in the times of the Torah, yibum with, but my intention wasn't for that. I thought she was just stam a prostitute. Avolhid sadka yoser, but she was more righteous than I. She niskavna l'shem shemayim. She knew who I was. I didn't know who she was. So she was intending for the mitzvah. I was intending for an avera. I ended up doing a mitzvah, but I intended for an avera. Kemama Rav Chibarashi, ano miul isuri chavne. Ulozeh nechshava lo hoda zu l'mitzvah, and that's why this. Hoda was considered for Yehuda to be a mitzvah because he embarrassed himself in public saying, she did right, I did wrong. And that itself was a tremendous mile on his part.
Rabbi, couldn't she just have gone to him and said, look, Dad, it's time. I really need to get married to him. This is...
100%. 100%. 100%.
Why didn't she just go?
Why didn't she? So I probably had to do with the status of women at the time. I don't think a woman... at that time, could go.
This was better.
I don't think a woman at that time could go to a husband, could go to a father,
okay,
husband,
let's drink
and say,
like a
let's see, that's what I'm saying, right?
Well, who had the nevuah that David was going to come from?
Right.
She had it or he had it?
Oh.
Both had it.
I read that, yeah. That they knew.
That they knew. So the question is, if they both knew, then she could have done it, or he should have gone to her.
Right. But again, I don't know, but I think one of the important points here, and Chazal, there are many Gemaras. I didn't bring them here, but there are many Gemaras that talk about that. This action of admitting, embarrassing yourself in public to the sin, is the trait of leadership that was what got Yehuda the Malchus. That you're willing in public to say, I made a mistake. And we say every morning in davening, Lo lo mi adam yireisha mayim vaseisu vagoloi. Umodala MS. MS, there's nothing more important in life, in relationships, in leadership. There's nothing more important than Modala MS.
That's Yaakov.
Modala MS. Tikhtan MS Yaakov, that's true. But
and his name is on the Kisek.
Right. Oh. Now the last topic we're gonna discuss here is I think the most powerful, where he talks about how Yosef was able to withstand the temptations of Potiphar's wife. Fascinating. So, just in 5 minutes, Vatisa Eneha El Yosef. So Yosef gets purchased by Potiphar. And right away, Potiphar sees sees his capabilities. He's an ish matzliach, and he gave him rulership over the whole house. And Yosef was yifei Torah v'yifei Mara, and his wife tries to seduce Yosef. It's a very fascinating. So you have over here the shalshalos, right? If you look at the just look at the pasuk for a second. Listen to Ksava. So Rabbi Jonathan Sachs has a beautiful idea. He says shalshalos always means like, if you look at this five places in the Chumash of the shalshalos, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs has a beautiful explanation I quote all the time about how, and Chazal say that Yosef had thoughts about doing it. Mm-hmm. The shalshalos means like, he thought about it, and then he thought about it, and then he thought about it. Like he was literally teetering. Exactly. That's the language. That's the reason for that. So he Ksav HaKabbalah is a different pshat. L'mashal by Lot, it says Vayismama by Lot. Like he wanted to go back to get his money, but he knew it was going to be destroyed. So like he was back and forth. It's a beautiful, really beautiful pshat on all the shalsheluses. But anyway, by Eliezer, it says that He didn't know whether he should go ahead with it because he really wanted his own daughter to marry. So he wasn't sure to go ahead with it. Shidduch or not. All these. Beautiful shot. Anyway, let's see what he says. Vatisa ineha el Yosef. Mi dehifsik b'mamar v'yachad v'ma'ila bein v'hi Yosef yifei toar ze yored d'lo misibas yif yifuso his or b'kir b'tavas elov. She wasn't just attracted by his good looks. No, it's really all the other things that the Torah described about Yosef, that he was matzliach, b'chol asher asa, u'misibas ha'aisa, b'rikas Hashem b'chol adorim. God, somehow everything he did, he had the Midas touch. Everything he did was blessed. And even the master saw that he was just great, good at what he did. He got stuff done. He was a leader. He had charisma. Kol malos eila, b'tziruf yafyifu. So together with his good looks, Oruru bilvava goldel chashivuso ad shehuchsha beinel istaki keilav va'asi kemamor delashem shemaim niskavna gamhi ketama. Wow, right? And Chazal say he ended up marrying her, right? Chazal say he ended up marrying, right? Oh. Potiphera, Yosef ended up marrying this woman.
I thought it was the daughter.
Okay, the daughter, either the daughter or her, yeah. Somebody in the fact, but it was l'shem shemaim. It was l'shem shemaim niskavna. So the shidduch wasn't just about, it was for good reasons, not just the good looks. The good looks is important too, but the real thing that caused her to be attracted to him was that he was matzliach.
And that medrash where Dina throws the amulet that she got from Yaakov as he's drawn through the streets and they say Avram, and he ends up marrying Dina, that's not...
I don't know. Oh, but here's the key point. So what's Yosef's reaction? Listen to this beautiful pshat. This is fantastic. This is what I really... Look at the pasuk for a second, 114. So what does it say? Vayimain with the shalshalos. Vayimain. Vayomer el eishes adonav. Hein adri lo yadi b'mbayis v'chal shizim v'chal shizim v'chal shizim. So says the Ksav HaKabbal so beautifully. First the Torah says, Vayimain, with an aleph. Then he gives all the reasons for why he was Vayimain. Now, normally you would expect that what the Torah should have said is, first he's going to tell you the reasons, and then it's going to say that because of all these reasons, I can't do it. That's not what it says. It says, first, the first gut reaction is, when the Yetzer attacks you, it first has to be, I am not submitting to this, come Gehenna or high water. This is not me. I'm not doing it. Then you give the rationalizations, because if you try to give the rationalizations first, the Yetzirah is going to take you over. If you start to debate with the Yetzirah whether or not this is the right thing to do or not, right, the Yetzirah will always figure out a way to convince you that it is the right thing to do. So it's got to be first with a shalshelis. He understands shalshelis exactly the opposite of Jonathan Sachs. Not that it's ambivalence. Not that I think he has a piece, the music of ambivalence. Not that it's ambivalence. Just the opposite. It's a dogish. I'm not only going to deny you once, but I'm going to deny it twice. I'm going to deny it three times. I'm just going to dig in with my defiance. Vayimain. This, whatever happens, this ain't happening. That's the first thing. And then he explains afterwards why. But the explanation says the Ksavak Bala has to come after the refusal. It's not the reason for the refusal beforehand. Oh, beautiful pshat.
Yep.
Beautiful pshat. Yep. Let's read it. Vayimayin. Look what he says so beautifully. Derech b'nei Adam im yavo olav anashim ha-mefatim oso l'dvar avera. The normal way of people, when, let's say somebody tries to seduce you to do something you don't want to do. So the normal way of people is, yir benegdam tainos lahashtikam. So you'll debate with them. You'll argue with them. You'll try to give all these reasons to shut them up. Uve emes ein derech se yatzileu. That's not going to save you from the Yetzirah. That's by trying to argue with them and debate them and come to, and that's not the right way to do it. Because if the guy is trying to seduce you to do the thing you don't want to do, if he's glib, bisvas chalakos yashchis divrei hanifta v'yilochei berishto, he will be trapped in his net. Unless yachlit miyad l'ma'ein, unless he decides right away to be mine, v'lomar shelo yaseo b'shum panim. I'm not doing this. I don't care what happens afterwards. The decision is no. Then, even if someone will be able to debate him out of his position, I'm not doing it, even if he gives me a good reason to do it, I'm not doing it. If you want, after you've decided no, then you could try to debate. But it's got to be from a position of, the question is, what's the default? The default is, I am not doing this. Reshmem Aleph. I don't know who that is. Who is that? Who is the Reshmem Aleph? Which of the Chumash commentaries?
That's not
Rav Moshe. I didn't know that he had a commentary on Chumash. Maybe he does. It could be. I don't know. I would love to know.
Next year.
What? Exactly. Vata. Joel, here's the Shalshelis. Vata mishibim milas vayimayin. And the trup that's on the word, the Tame Amikra. The trump that's on the word Yimayin, Yore al Isser Adavar, Val Hayoso Nimna Esla Umamayma Betachlis Amiyud. Not only did he underscored it. It's Loimet an Aleph, as they say. This was not happening.
No,
with a capital N. That's what it meant. Kimitocha Ta'amim Shebetorah Adamavine Mashalo Nichtaba. Because the Tamim could teach you Kinyan Hatnuos Sheba Adam Shemitocham Neda Kavanas Libo. Kind of like body language. You can tell from a person's body language that which is one of the big problems with texting and emailing, because you can't tell what a person really means if you don't see his body language while he's saying it. It's a very big problem, especially for a principal dealing with parents. But what? I don't need body language.
Right.
But assume
the negative.
Assume the worst.
Right.
I was talking this over last night, so a rabbi came into my office, sorry, I have to end here, but he said, no, Shalshelis also, that all generations of Jews, the Shalshelis HaMesorah, the all of us got our ability. If you think about it, being a Jew... All right, we're not going to be able to do the rest. You're going to have to do it for homework. But being a Jew requires a tremendous amount of withstanding temptation. Being a Jew requires a tremendous amount of withstanding temptation. And someone was telling me that the Shalshelis is that the Mamari Chazal, that all Jews who have withstood these kinds of temptations and other kinds of temptations for all generations, where a Jew took a stand. Against not, it all stems from this koach that Yosef placed. And some say the most yukto shel aviv, right? He saw a vision of his father, right? All those things that helped him. But the shalshelis, I heard someone say, is that this goes forward. It can, shalshelis is an idea of a chain. Shalshelis is a chain, and we could trace our kochos in being able to be a Jew, and to God calls upon us to be heroic, to be Herculean. He put these taivas in us, and we're supposed to be able to stand up to this. It's not easy stuff that God asked us to do. But so the key is to be like Yosef. You just got to dig your heels in, and believe that we have the kochos to withstand it. And the fact that Yosef, who was in this world, he was somebody who understood this world. He knew how to relate to people. But he had the kochos to say, not happening. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. So hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the wisdom and the strength to be able to withstand the temptations. He should give us the ability to admit that when we're wrong, to admit when you make a mistake, you have to be able to own up to it. You have to be able to own up to it. And also to understand that Jewish leadership requires being big people and seeing the big picture and being able to relate to all kinds of people. Hopefully we should be Zocha. I didn't see the Ksav HaKol's writings on Hanukkah so much anywhere, but Hanukkah certainly has a lot of these themes about standing up for something and being willing to take a stand on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch. Hopefully Hashem should give us the wisdom to be tough, to be strong like the Maccabees, let the pressures of the whole world dictate to us the way we act, but we say, Shal Shelis, Vayimain. We know where we're supposed to be. So have a great Shabbos. Thank you very much. Next week.